Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament readings recorded for us in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter. This is the last of God's promises to Abraham and Sarah that indeed they will be having a child. Promises that started 24 years before and so far seem to be empty promises. But God, as always, gets the last laugh in. Your insert only goes to verse 14. And I'm not sure why that is. Well, it's something I could fix, but I didn't because I forgot to. We're also going to hear verse 15 because to me it's just sort of another little chuckle in this text. The Lord appeared to Abram by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the earth and said, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quick, three sheahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. He took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." And the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son.'" But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is a continuation of our reading our way through the letter to the Colossians, or at least large chunk of the letter to the Colossians. Paul, in the reading we heard last week, sort of introduced himself and always sets that gospel base in front of his readers and the united hope we have in Jesus. But he continues to speak. "You, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in the body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am lifting up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand as we join in the triple Alleluia, page 190. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Oftentimes, our Old Testament text somehow complements or informs our Gospel text. Oftentimes, if there's a prophecy fulfilled, we read that prophecy from the Old Testament reading. And one question I had is, why is Abraham and Sarah story, our Old Testament story, when our gospel reading is about Mary and Martha? And the key is, they're about hospitality. What did Abraham do? He was running around like crazy, right, to provide for his guests. What does Martha do? She's working hard to prepare for her guests. And a thought, and this is a thought for another sermon, so I don't actually use it. It's interesting that both of them were focused on hospitality when really it's the host that was important, and they weren't the hosts. The host was God's presence among them. We hear this story. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Laughter is one of the most prevalent and contagious of all human emotional experiences. Laughter is known about for its physical and psychological mechanisms behind it. Scientists tell us when we laugh, it actually induces physical changes in our body, stimulates our organs, enhances oxygen intake, releases endorphins, all of which can help us feel relaxed. But that's not always the case with laughter, is it? Because we do know that there are different kinds of laughter. Yes, there is the good old belly laughter when something has struck you humorous or amusing. But laughter can also be triggered by embarrassment or doubt. It can express joy, can express relief, satisfaction. It may convey suspicion, skepticism, even scorn. I have to tell you, I was thinking about trying a social experiment this morning, but just wasn't quite there for myself. I was just going to start the sermon out by laughing, just laughing, nothing else, just laughing, just to see if, at least maybe with a couple of plants, we could get the whole place laughing, either because it's just contagious or because we don't want to feel left out. But laughter is a magnificent, contagious experience. But we also know it does communicate more, and we witness these different responses along the entirety of the promise of God concerning a son to an old man and old woman. Because while we heard Sarah's laughter in our text today, which I think most of us remember Sarah laughing, she's not the only one. She's not the first. Just before our text in Genesis 18, which is where it's taken from, we have another event of God appearing to Abraham recorded for us in Genesis chapter 17. Abraham is 99 years old. He has been living in faith toward God, who has promised to make him into a great nation, ever since he was 75 and called to leave his homeland and just to go where God would show him. But in all of these years, it seems impossible for God to make a great nation out of him because he doesn't have a child, especially not with Sarah. But with this particular visit, we hear these words, "And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come forth from her." Now here's the best part, okay? This is the part that I don't really remember, and that you probably don't remember it either. The word of God continues with this: "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" So what kind of laugh do you think that was that came out of Abram's mouth, face down on the ground? I guess we would text it laughing, rolling on the floor laughing. R-O-F-L. Takes me so long to remember the acronyms, I may as well type out the whole thing in the text. Luther says that this was a laugh of faith filled with joy. But really? My modern ears don't quite hear it that way. My modern ears hear sarcasm. I'm not sure Abraham is rolling with laughter. Yes, the promise is finally coming true. I mean, Luther may be right. Abraham has been living by faith for 25 years, and he might be recognizing by the Spirit that it's finally coming true. Oh, but on the other hand, Abram's thoughts are very similar to Sarah's thoughts in our text today. So a short time after this promise to Abraham, God draws near to Abraham where he is living. And Abraham bows down before the Lord in this case, in submission and in trust. And in grateful faith, he seeks to provide generous hospitality and service. But as God again promises that Sarah will have a child by next year, it is Sarah who skeptically snickers at God's word. And her laughter is immediately acknowledged by God, who brings it to Abraham's attention, asking a rhetorical question, which literally translates, "Is any word too wonderful for God?" Now, I think that we can be more confident that Sarah's was not a laugh of faith and joy. I mean, not only does she question the possibility of bearing a child when called upon the carpet about her laughing, she denies it because she's afraid. But then God gently corrects her also. "No, but you did laugh." You see, long before this, Sarah has been beaten down. She's been trying. She's been praying. She's been hoping for a child for decades. Meanwhile, she's been observing other women bear children, including her own servant, Hagar. But she's remained barren. And based how she treated Hagar and Ishmael, she had become very bitter. All of this then affects how she hears God's word and the kind of laughter with which she responds, a laughter at the word of God. You know, for us too, God's promises may seem to go beyond the it's too good to be true, to become the laughable at. Like Sarah, we might struggle to believe God's word when beaten down by all sorts of unmet expectations, family anticipations with respect to marriage and children and other family members, might be vocational prospects, goals, aspirations that never pan out, maybe an anticipation of youthful activities or sports or a long, active, healthy retirement that gets ruined by injury or illness. Like Sarah, certainly our own sinful flesh can easily call us to question, maybe even laugh at God's promises. And when we're confronted with contradictory worldviews, we can question God's word based on whether we think it's possible or not. Our sinful pride, well, we know that that can have us thinking that we know better than God. If he'd only handle it my way, it'd be okay. The evil accuser can cause us to question whether or not God's wonderful promises are actually for me. But in this entire story, in the entire saga of the quest of a baby, the truth holds firm. There is no word, no promise too wonderful, too impossible for God. After all, God said, "Let there be." And the entire creation was formed out of nothing, and behold, it was very good. The psalmist cries out the truth. You make the going out of the morning and the evening shout for joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. God's wonderful word may have seemed too much for Sarah, and she snickers. But we also know that God's word did create faith in her. That's what Hebrews 11 makes very clear for us. By faith, Sarah herself received the power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who promised. And that child of promise, that child called Isaac, that child named for the laughter of his mother and father, well, he is the one who is the ancestor of the Messiah, of Jesus. The one who, for the joy set before him, would endure the cross and scorn its shame in order that he might conquer Satan. The seed of Isaac carried out a blessing to all nations in his life, his death, and his resurrection. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus' perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection, it has reconciled us to God the Father. This word, this message, is a word that should bring us great joy and even laughter as well. As God's wonderful word comes to us again and again, it calls us to repent and to believe the gospel. This wonderful word is powerful enough to connect us in the waters of holy baptism to Jesus' death and resurrection. It's a powerful word that combined with bread and wine delivers to us the very body and blood of Christ for our forgiveness, for our life and our salvation. The wonderful word works faith in you. The wonderful word and promise of God guides our lives. And it is the wonderful, powerful word of God that is the good portion that will not be taken from us. This word of God is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. The wonderful word is true and enduring. Therefore, we should fear and love God and not despise preaching and His word, but to hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. To be filled with a joyous laughter as it comes to us again and again with promises that seem too wonderful, but are not too wonderful for our God to fulfill. The word has brought forth a joyous laughter for Sarah and Abraham as they moved past the cynicism. About a year after the three visitors came to Abraham and Sarah's tent, Sarah did bear a son. And Abraham, as God commanded, gave him the name Isaac, which means he laughed or laughter. And what did Sarah say when the promise came true? God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And we have been laughing with Abraham and Sarah ever since, laughing for the wonderful, powerful message of God's word that does what it says. You might say that God's wonderful word actually gets the last and the longest laugh. Because in the end, that word will raise our dead bodies and bring us into the glory of eternity with God, filled with rejoicing and praising for all that God has done, for our creation, for our redemption, and for the life that goes on with Him. There's a song that I like to teach the preschoolers. I usually get the pleasure of doing this in devotions, although sometimes if things are crushed, Kim gets to teach it in the classroom. It's called the Laughing Song. And it's a simple song. I heard it actually down at a gathering when we were preparing for a youth gathering. Terry Dittmer is the one who taught it to me. It's based on the three types of laugh. We've got the belly laugh. Ho, 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 right? We've got the sort of the big ol' throw your hands back, ha, ha, ha type of laugh. And then we got that quiet laugh, hee, hee, hee. And the song goes like this. If you know it, start singing it, because we'll sing it a couple of times, and I expect you to sing with me. Ho, 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 Hosanna. Ha, ha, hallelujah, he is risen, I've got the joy of the Lord. You ready? Ho, 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 Hosanna, ha, ha, hallelujah, he is risen, I've got the joy of the Lord. One problem I saw with that, well, besides me being off key, which is a constant problem. I didn't see any hand motions. We're going to do it twice, two times more. One slow and one, the one where that gets the preschoolers just finally giggling. Ready? Ho, ho, Hosanna, ha, ha, hallelujah. He is risen. I've got the joy of the Lord. Real fast. Ho, ho, Hosanna. Ha, ha, hallelujah. He is risen. I've got the joy of the Lord. Now, that's on live stream, by the way, so we may get a call from district headquarters or synodical headquarters. But that's where our joy, our laughter is rooted. The resurrection of Christ and the promise of our own resurrection, for nothing is too glorious for the word of God. Amen. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.